when we start talking about resurrection power, it's easy to look at it like a fairy tale. It's easy to look at and say, well, you know, that's for other people, or is that really real? And so John Piper, in his Resurrection Power Now, says, so my message for believers in Jesus is this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and what became of him after his resurrection shows the greatest of God's power toward us in this life.
Welcome to In Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Anointed with Prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half.
As it has just been read in your hearing, we've been on the road to the resurrection. And it culminates on this Sunday as we look at what it means to be anointed in prayer. Anointed in prayer. And today the title of my message is Anointed with Resurrection Power. Anointed with Resurrection Power. There's a quote that I want to read from John Piper. And this really spoke to my heart, because when we start talking about resurrection power, it's easy to look at it like a fairy tale. It's easy to look at and say, well, you know, that's for other people, or is that really real? And so John Piper, in his Resurrection Power Now, says, so my message for believers in Jesus is this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and what became of him after his resurrection shows the greatest of God's power toward us in this life. Let me read that again. Shows the greatest of God's power toward us in this life. I know that the vast majority of you do not feel that power. It sounds idealistic. It sounds like religious hype. It sounds vague and theoretical. It does not correspond to your experience. And so you instinctively feel like this sermon is going to be like a piece of fiction. I don't blame you for feeling that way. I've often felt that way myself. But by God's grace, the word of God may change your mind and your heart. I can't, God can, God may. Let's open to hear what the Spirit has to say. And the reason I wanted to read that quote, because I was thinking about, Lord, this is Resurrection Sunday. And we are going to talk about resurrection power. When you think about the fact that makes absolutely no sense, that a dead man came back to life. And now you're saying that same power is available to me. That makes absolutely no sense. And so, pretty much, if that's the way you feel, you know, you can check out right now. Because that's what this message is about. It's about the fact that we have been anointed with power to live the lives that God would have us to live. And if we are living defeated and discouraged and puny and impotent lives, that is not reflective of the resurrection power. And so today we want to look at the fact that one of Jesus' last acts before he went back to heaven was to anoint his disciples, and I believe us through them, to go forth and do what he would have us to do. In Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 51. Now, I just want to let all of you know today that if you are at Bethany Baptist Church, you are in the place where Jesus wants people to be. You're going to say, well, how do you know that? Well, his last act that he did, he led them to Bethany. If Jesus was here on earth, he would worship at Bethany. He wouldn't lead people to Bethany if he wouldn't worship there himself. Luke chapter 24. All right, now. All right. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 51. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. The word blessed is the Greek word eulogeo. And that's where we get our English word eulogy from. And when you think of eulogy, what is a eulogy? A eulogy is something that's said at a funeral service, homegoing service, to speak nice words of another person. So it says twice in this passage. And notice, you know, it's emphasized that he blessed them. Twice it says that. He blessed them. His last act before he went back to glory was to bless his disciples. He, and I believe, not only spoke good words about them and to them, but I also believe that this is a pronouncement upon them of the things that he wanted them to do. What is the importance of a blessing? In the Old Testament, when a man blessed his sons, that was very important. That was very meaningful. And so the importance of blessing, that is something that we shouldn't take lightly. It's something that we can look at this text and we can kind of blow by and go to the next thing. But a blessing is important, first of all, because it was an honor. It was an honor to be blessed. In Genesis 49, Jacob blessed his sons. He honored them with his last wishes for them. So to receive a blessing was a great honor. Not only was it a great honor, but it was an endowment. And when I say endowment, I mean it was an endowment of power, to be endued with power. And the Aaronic benediction in Numbers 6, 22 through 27, he said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord let his face shine upon thee. The Lord give thee peace. What was he doing? He was transferring something into, he was transferring something into their lives. He was transferring peace. He was transferring God's power. He was transferring God's blessing into their lives. The importance of blessing. And then we see the blessing was an inheritance. That it actually left the person something in this life. And so the blessing was very important. When we look at the disciples, and when it says that Jesus blessed them, we see that, first of all, it was an honor. That they were received, they received the honor of receiving the power of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, many of us know that verse by heart. And it says, but after you shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. That he honored them with receiving his power. That in Acts 1:8, not only did he honor them, but he endued them with power. He said, you shall receive power. And I'm going to talk about this word power here in a second. So they were endued with power. And in Acts 1:8, they also inherited power. And so in this blessing, they were honored with the power of Christ. They were endued with the power of Christ. And they inherited the power of Christ. And I want to switch now to the book of Ephesians as we talk about anointed with resurrection power. And again, I would just pray at this point because I know that it's very easy. And you know, it's something that I struggle with myself. Very easy to kind of disconnect, as I said in the beginning, and to look and say, is what Pastor Glaze saying is real? Is that something that's achievable? So I'm just going to pray right now because I really want us to keep connected and to say, this is for me. This wasn't just for the disciples, that this wasn't just for a select few, but this was actually for me. Father, I just come to you right now, and Lord, I pray, because it's so easy as we start talking about resurrection power, it's so easy for me to think that this is some kind of fairy tale. It's so easy for me to think that this is something that, well, yeah, when I get to heaven, I'll experience it. But Lord, I pray that you would teach us this day the reality of resurrection power. That when Jesus left this earth, he prayed for his disciples. He blessed them with power, and he prayed that they might receive the power so that they could go forth and do his will. And so, Lord, just touch our hearts. Gather our thoughts, gather our mind. Lord, shake us at our very core today. And let us realize that living a discouraged and a defeated life, even though we might do it, even though we might justify it, to live a discouraged and defeated life goes to the exact opposite of what resurrection power is all about. So Lord, touch us, lead us and guide us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Resurrection power. I love the verse because it says that the same power that was in at work when Jesus was resurrected, the same power is available to you. It's available to you. You know, and if you read the scriptures, and I didn't look up all these scriptures to bring them and give them to you, but if you go through your concordance or if you go online and just who raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says that the Father raised him from the dead. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that Jesus raised himself from the dead. So the Trinity was at work in the resurrection. And he says here that the same power that got Jesus up is in us. And so I want to start by just talking about the ignorance of the power. That some of us sitting here today don't know that we have this power. And some of us sitting here today might know that we have it, but we don't understand it. And some of us sitting here today might know that we have it, but we're not walking in the power of the resurrection. Notice what he says in verse 18. He says, let me get there. He says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Notice that he says two things here. The eyes of your understanding being open. What does that mean? That means that some people don't understand. It means that there's blinders over their eyes. It means that they really don't see what is available to them. And not only does he talk about the eyes being enlightened, but he said that you might know the hope. That you might know the hope of this power. And so it's interesting that Paul prays for people to know, for believers to know the power that's available to them. Some people don't know it. I shared with you my testimony on one occasion when the power went out in our neighborhood, and I was sitting in my bedroom waiting for the power to come back on. And I sat and I sat and I said, okay, now Duquesne Light is usually a little more on top of things than this. And so I remembered that I had left my garage door open, and I went to close my garage door. And as I went to, you know, try to close my garage door, I looked, and all my neighbors had electricity. Their lights were on, the neighborhood was lit up. And I sat in darkness all that time. Come to find out, what happened was that a fuse blew in my house and knocked out my power, and all I needed to do was go put the fuse back in. And I sat there all that time. I was ignorant of the fact that I didn't have power. I didn't know that I had power. And I pray today, at least as you come today and you worship today, one of the things that will happen is that you will know that this power is available to you. That you won't be sitting in the dark anymore. Well, you might be. And if you are, if you continue to sit in the dark, it'll be your choice. It'll be your choice. The ignorance of the power. And some of us have the power, but we can't use it. And we don't use it. We know that we got it. And we don't use it. You know, I think of John D. Rockefeller, one of the richest people in the world. He lived on crackers and milk. And the reason that he lived on crackers and milk is because he had a stomach problem and he couldn't eat like he wanted to. And he had guards that stayed outside of his room all the time because he was fearful of somebody coming in. He couldn't sleep. And he had these worries, and here he was, one of the wealthiest people in the world, but yet and still he was miserable. One of the wealthiest people in the world, and yet and still he was miserable. And how is it that God's people have all this wealth and power, and yet and still they are miserable? Yet and still, you live defeated lives. Oh, you know, I'm not saying that we need to go around with a big stupid grin on our face 24/7. That's not my point. You know, my point is that when we deal with things in life, that there ought to be a reasonable degree of power that we have to be able to deal with these things, and that these things should not overwhelm us and take us under. That we have within us the ability to be able to stand in the midst of all that we have to deal with in all that we go through. Rockefeller, he had the wealth. He had the wealth, but yet and still he was miserable. And maybe that's your testimony today. You've got the power, but even in having the power, you're ignorant and you're not using it. Today, walk out of here determined that I'm going to walk in this resurrection power. And you know what? Satan will come after you. When you make that decision, evil will come after you. Negative circumstances will come after you. All those things. You know what? Whenever you make a decision for God, and I'm just going to tell you this right now. You know, the worst thing that you can think is that everything's going to be all right now. That's the worst thing that you can think. Because when you make a decision for God, one of the things that's going to happen is that the forces of evil will come against you. And a lot of times they will double up their attack on you. But thank God that we have someone who will walk with us, who will fight with us, and help us to be able to stand in troubling times. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, Lord, thank you. I've got power that you can't see. God is living inside of me. God and I have all the power in the world. God and I are the majority when it comes to dealing with the enemy. Don't be ignorant. Or as is said in certain neighborhoods, don't be ignorant of the power. Know that this power is there. Know that this power is available to you. And the second thing that I want to say is the infusion of the power. The infusion of the power. Notice what he says here in verse 20. We'll go back to verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Again, the same power that raised Christ up from the dead can be infused in you. And you know what? I scratch my head because that's where the fairy tale comes in. What? What? Now, come on, Pastor Glaze. For me, that's really hard to believe. The fact that you're saying in the word that the same power that got Jesus up is in me. That when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came into my life. And the same power that got Christ up came into my life. And you know, a lot of people, you know, talk about, well, you know, I'm trying to get more of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit. You got all of God when you asked Christ to come into your heart. You got all of God that you were going to get. And now the question is, not can I get more of God, but can God get more of me? And the more of me that God gets, the greater this power, this again, you know, what it means for a dead corpse, stone to be infused with life and live again.
For joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Anointed with Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Anointed with Prayer, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Anointed with Prayer. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Anointed with Prayer from our Lenten series, or call us at 877 877- 831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.